Hi, I'm Joe Artis Horn, and I'm joined today by Mr. Daniel Belt, who is the head of project development for Eden's Essentials supplementation lines. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, Joe.
So immunity, bolstering the immune system, is really a hot topic right now. You're seeing this all over social media. It's in the news. And one of the biggest drivers at the moment, and I emphasize at the moment because we've been here so many times before, is this newly found coronavirus. Now, I've been keeping my eyes as close to this newly found coronavirus as I have much of anything over the last 30 days in particular. And I can tell you that as we sit here at the time of this recording today, I don't feel comfortable giving our viewers a definitive, certifiable takeaway statement as to what I believe this virus to be. And I'll tell you why. I've read lots and lots of articles, and I have followed MDs on the subject. I have followed scientists on the subject, biologists on the subject. And I believe that at this point, even if we think we understand what this virus is, there could be some unknown variables. Now, switching gears, I'll give you a couple of examples of what I mean using the Ebola virus. At the time, people thought that they knew everything that there was to know about the Ebola virus and continued to monitor its survivors. Mm-hmm. Well, it took almost 4 years for them to realize that the retinal cords and kidneys of the victims of this horrible, horrible situation had sustained long-term damage.
Yeah.
So now, am I saying that the newly found coronavirus is guaranteed to have some built-in nefarious underlying subplot that we're all missing? No. But I'm saying we have not had time to monitor the survivors of this outbreak,
right,
to see if there could be things, you know, are there lingering respiratory issues? Does a person the following flu season have a more dire vulnerability to things that they didn't previously? We really just don't know. So the point is, the one thing that does seem to be a common thread from most of the people writing about this newly found coronavirus, a lot of the scientists and MDs and holistic doctors, and that is there is a consensus that bolstering your immune system is the smartest thing that you can do with this and with any viral type flu-type outbreak. So I want to read you something from the CDC, and then we'll switch gears for a second. The CDC estimates, and this is from their website, that influenza has resulted in between 9 million and 45 million illnesses, between 140,000 and 810,000 hospitalizations, and between 12,000 and 61,000 deaths annually since 2010. Now, right now, the kind of numbers that we're seeing with people that experience a fatality from the newly found coronavirus, COVID-19, seem to be catastrophically lower than that. So why the alarm? Is it just because of some of the things I mentioned, the unknown lingering side effects? Could there be side effects to how this virus is morphing? Mm-hmm. Is it transforming itself as viruses tend to like to do? Is it bonding itself with certain, genome paths and then becoming something different? These are all things we just don't know, which is why at my open I said, I'm not comfortable giving you a definitive dismissal that this is just the common flu, but I also am not here to raise panic and alarm you and jump on this bandwagon of fear-mongering and hysteria that seems to have overtaken much of our media right now. So, Daniel, between 12,000 and 61,000 deaths every year because of the common influenza.
Yeah.
So let's talk about bolstering your immune system. Let's talk about really, really, really reinforcing the immune system.
Yeah. There's a lot that people can do in regards to bolstering their immunity. And probably the first place to start is just with some basic nutrition. One of the best aspects that one can do is adding lemons, limes, and pineapples to their diet. Now, this is not lemon and lime juice out of a bottle. Those are pasteurized.
Right.
It is not the same
exactly.
thing. It is not the same. And so whenever you take a lemon or lime, and I would certainly encourage organic because it does afford a certain level of protection, what you do is you just
sure.
cut those in quarters or halves and you crush it. You decompartmentalize that down into the water. And because so much of that juice needs to break out of those components and make its way into the water. This contains typically what's called vitamin C, like a lot of people call ascorbic acid vitamin C, although that's just one part. This contains all of the constituents that are meant to come with a whole vitamin C.
The cofactors.
And that's the cofactors, and this is known as the entourage effect.
Mm-hmm.
And the entourage is commonly known wisdom in medical communities of how things work together as cooperatives in order to produce a much greater effect than we would by isolating a specific thing. And that lemon and lime has lots of things. It has quercetin. It has these things that are good for allergies.
Yep.
It has things that are good for breaking up mucus.
Yep.
It has things for, and then vitamin C itself to stimulate immunological.
But it's bioabsorbable because it's from food the way that,
yeah,
that we were intended to absorb it.
Yeah, it has bioflavonoids,
right.
And bioflavonoids kind of instruct so much of what goes on.
That's what my wife and I do. Every morning we chop the tail ends off of both sides of the lemon. Each one of us get a whole lemon. We squeeze it in a great big mason jar like grandma used to, you know, can peaches in, because we don't like to drink out of plastics and stuff like that.
Sure.
And I usually have mine gone in the first hour. I just go all in. She likes to sip hers throughout the day. But
I would recommend, and this really comes from a lot of health coaching, do what keeps you consistent. Like, if you're going to do so much, you're going to quit. Don't do that.
Like, if it's too bitter and you're not using enough water, maybe increase the water.
Figure a different way or reduce your amount for now. I would generally try to get a lime or a lemon a day.
That's a super inexpensive way for you to start bolstering your immune system over time, in particular, if you're consistent with it, for almost nothing, pennies per week.
Yeah.
Talk to us about some other ways that people can bolster the immune system, starting right away.
Sure. I like turmeric and ginger. Actually, to transition this, my drink every day is I take fresh lemon or fresh lime and I put it into a jar with fermented turmeric and ginger and fermented mushrooms. And that's kind of my magic drink, and I don't ever get sick. So with the turmeric, it's adaptogenic, which means physiological things. So it's good for physical stress, and that includes some cancers, some correlatives with cancers and things like that, but also like mental and emotional stress.
Mm-hmm.
It's an anti-inflammatory and has immune properties, and so does ginger. So I really like those particular combinations together. Mushrooms, which I kind of just mentioned, I use a fermented mushroom in my drink, but mushrooms dietarily have been shown to have very powerful, actually specifically associated with the flu, certain types of flus. There's a lot of correlatives between swine flu, bird flu, and some of these others, and specific types of mushrooms. So mushrooms in the diet are another good choice. Sunshine, which I consider a nutrient. You know, like, because it does many things. We think about, oh, I get vitamin D, but we can't equate supplemental vitamin D with being in the sun. The sun does so many things. It elicits 1,000 responses, hormonal, metabolic, hormone synthesis, and all kinds of things. So you just can't supplement with that in the same way.
Right.
These things can have benefit when taken supplementally, but it doesn't replace living. And that's really where it's at. And there's no replacement for it. So also plants in the home, because plants do a couple different things. They purify the air. So whenever you have just things floating around your home, just from your heating and air conditioning and things like that, plants will help purify that stuff. And in addition, it exchanges carbon for oxygen. So when we're in our house, and I've used this statistic before, it's an older statistic, but there's on average 17 times as much oxygen outside this building as there is inside the building.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you have to spend 17 days out indoors for which you get one day outdoors of the most vital element to a human being.
Mm-hmm.
The thing you can't live minutes without. And you got to spend 17 days indoors to get it. That right there is a massive drag on our overall health and immunity, energy, all kinds of stuff. And the last thing I would suggest, at least in regards to nutrition, is actually fasting, which we think is kind of being the absence of nutrition.
Sure.
But giving the body a metabolic break where it's not constantly trying to digest food allows it to turn its energy towards other things, which are healing,
exactly.
Cleaning up the body, and there's a whole lot of data. And hopefully we really plan on doing programming to really talk into more depth about these kinds of things. We're just giving an overview about what we could do today, about what's kind of simple in order to boost their immunity.
Right.
And these are the daily practices that would keep us from being ill. If we do this, we really absolve ourselves of so much of the worry. I mean, we can't, you know, absolve ourselves of everything, but this is what lets us know we did the work that we can on our end, and the rest I can just, that's the best I can do.
And what I love about so many of these ideas is that they're either next to free or they're completely free, like fasting.
Yeah, exactly. You'll even save money on that day than you run any other day.
Exactly, yeah. Save up the money fasting a couple of days and, you know, buy your lemons for the week.
Yeah, exactly. It'll pay for itself.
Right.
The next thing I'd like to talk about is stress. So stress is easily the thing that drops immunity faster than any other thing.
For a thousand reasons.
Yeah, yeah. It's whenever we get stressed, the body can't interpret stressors. It really doesn't know much of a difference between I can't pay my bills or if I'm being killed by a bear. And so the body shuts down memory.
Exactly.
You don't need to fight a cold like you need to fight a bear. You know, like it's telling you.
Right. Shuts off digestion, starts burning through your B6 reserves. Like thousands of things are taking place when you are stressed.
Yes, absolutely. And it's just, you don't need to digest food. You don't need to eliminate waste. It shuts down everything for immunity. So with that in mind, the first thing I would say is mindfulness. If you find yourself being stressed, oh, I'm getting stressed. I need to step back and just take a moment and realize that my legs are not on fire. Like I'm not literally in dire jeopardy. So that right there does wonderful things for helping us reset and not put our, you know, kind of worry and suppress our immunity through that mechanism. And that leads to two other things that I'm going to get into in relation to this. One is laughter.
Yes.
Laughter really is a medicine. It really is. We secrete and do all kinds of things whenever we laugh. And so if you find yourself being so stressed out and you just can't get out of that place, then take a time out, a little escape moment. Go escape. Find something that you find funny. Go watch some kids play. Go do something to that effect and see if you can't find some of the places in your life that make you happy and want to laugh. It will help break that mental cycle of being trapped in this kind of stress. Oriented place, which so many of us live in. So the next thing that I would recommend is deep breathing. So in every human being is what they call as the vagus nerve, and it's a nerve that runs from the back of the neck all the way down pretty much through every organ. It goes through your lungs, through your gallbladder, liver, kidneys, and it's because it both picks up and distributes information to those things. And so every time that you take a deep breath, and you don't have to be a master breather. I'm literally talking just a deep breath into the diaphragm and then all the way out and then another one deep into the diaphragm. What happens is that sends a signal up the vagus nerve to the brain to calm down. So that's why we get this feeling, and it's not really a feeling, it's biochemistry.
Exactly.
Right?
You could do it right now, yeah.
Right.
Somebody's like, hey, step back, take a deep breath, calm down, you know.
Yeah, which we all know is
it's universal, right.
But now we can actually measure, you know, see the signal go up and down the body, and it tells these organs and glands to relax that you're not in dire jeopardy, which turns a little bit back to what I was saying about stress. So it's definitely good to breathe deep whenever you can, spend 5 minutes practicing or whatever. But more importantly, it's just better to do one. You will get that response, right? And it's better if you practice it, but even if you can just one time, and that's a little bit what I was saying mindfulness earlier, if you find yourself getting stressed, legitimate or no, take a step back, take a deep breath, you're going to send a biophysical signal to the brain that's going to help your body try to calm down, right? And that's something that can help reset the mind so that you can have a better perspective on what you're doing going forward and not compromise yourself and compromise your immunity and your day simply by being worried and having all these hormonal and chemical responses from that. So, okay, so then that would segue to the last thing. It's a little bit related to deep breathing, and that's exercise. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be just what we call, quote, unquote, exercise. I'm talking activity. That could be mowing your lawn, it could be playing with your kids, it could be going for a bike ride, it could be dancing, it could be singing, it could be any number of things.
That's interesting, because I think a lot of people, when you say exercise, they immediately think
the gym,
guy in tights doing aerobics or lifting weights.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're suggesting this could be anything that you actually enjoy doing that isn't just, you know, monotonous in nature, that could be, you know, riding a bike outside or playing with the kids or... That's my deal. I run through the house and kids are, you know, frantic and running and hiding, and then I'm finding them and tickling them, and, you know, my little boy's running around, daddy's going to get me, and then they'll try to instigate even when I'm not there to play, you know, daddy, come chase us, you know, that kind of stuff. That's probably the height of my exercise right now.
Well, my kids. I do know your schedule, so like that makes sense.
No, I mean, I'm glad you mentioned that, because, you know, when you say exercise, people immediately assume, for the most part, what that means.
Yeah, and actually, I spend a lot of time, especially when I used to take on clients, trying to reverse engineer that. Like, no, it's specifically not not that way. It's if something can give you joy when you're 12, mm-hmm. it's possible to give you joy again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we just forget what that is, and it really can be anything. I would certainly suggest that if there's something that you have fun doing, if there's something that you have enjoyed doing, promote that. It's a good thing. Those produce all kinds of biochemical, hormonal, biophysical responses that are anti-aging, that protect your immunity, that protect your bones and your joints, mm-hmm. and make you happier during the day. Mm-hmm. And it could be anything. And you don't have to put a parameter on it. It doesn't have to be 5 minutes. Doesn't have to be 20 minutes. Doesn't have to be 45. If it's 10, take 10. If it's 30, take 30.
Our bodies really were meant to be used.
Yes, that's right.
And one of the first holistic doctors I ever said, you know, when you just sit around all day, your body starts to think you're dying.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm serious. Have you heard?
Right.
I'm sure you know somebody, or you've heard of, you know, these individuals who will retire and then just sit.
Yeah.
And it usually right away there's some expression of a disease or a newly found something or whatnot.
Yeah, that's right. And there's actually a lot of data, and I can't get into it now because there's just not enough time, that actually suggests just being able to look out a window what that does for your hormonal health.
So many
just
programs.
Being able to look out a window. Right. Just so many programs.
So many programs.
But
they're coming.
But we do need to segue
to sleep.
To sleep. And I can't even say how this is so important. It's more important than food.
Mm-hmm.
It's more important than water.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't think that, but you can go.
Exactly.
Go 3 days without sleeping, and we'll find out what matters most. You know,
right.
You can go that period without water. You can go without food. You can't go without sleep. It's when everybody shuts down two-thirds of itself.
Yes, yes.
It turns on a third of itself. And I'm generalizing, but it turns on a third of itself. And that's when the flushing happens. That when the cleansing happens. That's when the repair happens. That's when the immunity happens. Your memories are made at night when mm-hmm. you're asleep. So many of the vital functions, the anti-aging functions,
mm-hmm.
the health functions mm-hmm. happen during sleep.
Right.
And that's why it's so important to make sure that quality sleep. And again, this is something I definitely plan on.
It's where detox mostly happens.
Oh, yeah.
And inflammation is mostly addressed. Yeah. It's just so many layers. But you have to get great sleep to hit those maximum benefits.
So now, you know, we've covered some of these really basic aspects of what we can do to help lift our immunity. And I want to come straight off of the sleep point here and say what we do offer. You know, we try to definitely teach people about the things that they can do these things
sure.
the most naturally and the right way. But we want to also give people tools,
right?
And the best tools available. And so what we do have, and what so many of us have benefited from, myself, yourself,
absolutely.
Your father,
my dad,
and many other great many people here that take it, you know, and feedback that we get from our customers is our CBD oil.
Mm-hmm.
Our CBD oil, which we generally recommend for sleep, but it's
absolutely.
Good for a host of other things.
So many things.
It's good for stress and anxiety.
Inflammation.
It's got neurogenic properties, so it helps the body generate neurons for the brain and for the nervous system.
Right.
It's an adaptogen, and it just has a whole host of really great properties, but the big one being sleep. And again, not something for everything, but there's a lot of data, and for a lot of people this works really great. So
my father, growing up, he would basically go to bed and he would get about four pretty cheap, pretty tossy turny hours of fairly inconsequential sleep until he started. And I know this sounds like a plug, I really do, but I will be honest when I tell you that before it was our product, he mm-hmm. was using our product.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that he uses is the Eden's Essential CBD oil in a tincture, and he does two droppers about 45 minutes before he goes to bed. I do the same protocol. It's not like a sedative. If you've ever had a sedative from the hospital or been under anesthesia or taken something for sleep where you wake up feeling groggy, like it's still in your system and you really want to go. It's not anything like that. And unless you've tried it, it kind of will speak for itself.
I don't think a lot of people realize, directly to your point about sedatives. Sedative, when you take a sedative and you go under, you are not asleep. You are sedated. You're unconscious. Those are not the same thing. You're not sleeping when you go down with a sedative.
Right.
You will fall asleep eventually after being sedated, but you're not actually in a state of sleep. And when you're sedated, your body cannot do the things it needs to do to get to these levels of sleep.
And this is the case with my father as well. My father actually at an older age was trekking down the same path that I was when I described the 20 years of autoimmune disease and stuff. It was discovered a couple of years back that he had diverticulitis. diverticulosis. These were the same. Mm-hmm. This was the same path I started down for lots of the same similar reasons, diet, things like this. He discovered it after he ate some popcorn at the movie theater, which, you know, the little kernels, they get stuck, they create infection, whatever. That, in most of the diverticulosis cases I've heard, I said, when you found out, did you eat popcorn? Yeah, right after
the movies.
Yeah, were you at the movies? But anyway, bottom line is my dad has gone up to 6 to 7 hours of quality sleep, and he can't believe it. I mean, because he, for years, he would do the, and I won't name the brand names, but very, very well-known PM aspirins and whatever, just trying to get sleep, not knowing the side effects,
right?
What it was doing to the gut and everything else. But anyway, and then in my case, again, it's not like a sedative. It is super-duper peaceful sleep. Mm-hmm. I dream almost every night. I get up feeling much more refreshed in the morning because my body's had a chance to fight inflammation. CBD oil, what it's done to my digestive tract in terms of fighting inflammation. But I wanna put something out there. This is really important because I have Christian friends that have asked me, Joe, how are you able to take something like a CBD oil supplement? Isn't it marijuana? Isn't there a conflict in your moral code using something like a CBD oil? And I try to explain to them that it's hemp seed extract. There's no psychotropic ingredients in this product whatsoever. This is not like smoking marijuana to get high. But there does seem to be a massive understanding gap, low information on what CBD oil actually is. And there does truly seem to be kind of a stigma from some individuals, you know, reluctant to give CBD oil a chance, even though they're curious that it may have some health benefits, Daniel, because they still misunderstand what it is.
So our product is a broad spectrum product and not a full spectrum. And the difference is the THC, and that's the psychoactive compound which makes people high.
On marijuana. Okay.
Right. And there is trace amounts of it in industrial hemp. Right. But we absolve all of that. We have that completely removed. And we do want to dispel kind of the stigma because hemp is not a problem. And I've had hundreds and hundreds of personal conversations over people's trials with CBD. And from little old women that could barely open their hands to soldiers with PTSD,
right?
It was life-changing.
Absolutely.
Life-changing.
Yes.
And denying these kinds of things is actually a problem that we need to confront, because this
Absolutely.
Is something that we could be delivering with no baggage, real service, and
right.
real solutions
right.
at a minimum of cost, because hemp is a very powerful, it's a strong plant. Like,
right.
it's very hardy. It's cheap
incredibly
to produce.
Incredibly medicinal.
Yes,
and good for the body. Yes.
On all kinds of levels.
I have a friend who has diagnosed Lyme's disease, and she has explained that CBD oil is the only shot that she has at rest at night.
Yeah.
In any possible way to sleep, experience any of the healing benefits of that deep REM cycle sleep.
Yeah.
And I'm not here to be preachy or to tell you or to presume for you what your sliding moral code should be around this, but I would draw a contrast. If it's something that really could present a value to your body, but you're still kind of stuck on the stigma, or you're concerned that people you know in your life might not be able to reconcile it from themselves, so you just generally, you know, the idea that you'd use it, stay away from it. And again, this is not preachy or judgmental whatsoever, but in your home, do you have any soda pop right now? Do you have any cereals with sugars and artificial sweeteners? Do you have any chips? Because I could promise you that those have a medicinal value of nothing. They take from the body, and we know that snack foods like that contribute to all kinds of things like inflammation, autoimmune disease, cancer, and yet people don't bat a moral eye whatsoever for the most part consuming them. And here we are talking about CBD oil that is only a whole net positive for your body.
Yes.
Is this making sense?
And a medicine.
But people, or for that matter, and again, I'm going to avoid major brands, but when you take aspirin and painkillers for a headache or something that hurts, people don't bat an eye. They don't morally equate there being anything wrong at all with taking like an ibuprofen for a headache. but might have a problem with something like CBD. And CBD is actually a net whole positive for the body.
It's just a natural thing grown on Earth.
And the others actually have all kinds of side effects on your gut, your immune system. But do you see what I'm getting at? So I'm not trying to be preachy. I'm just trying to draw some contrast to kind of help people understand where I'm coming from and why I'm completely comfortable with CBD oil.
Yeah.
Daniel, let's you and I wrap this up with one final commentary here. If a person's been watching this broadcast and they're thinking to themselves, let's get back to the immune system bolstering stuff that we were talking about earlier. If you're a person who generally eats on the go but wants to be able to do something significant for their immune system, while I have always maintained there is no substituting for a clean diet, there is something you can do, whether you're in the camp of people with an incredible diet or the people that are, like I said, grab and go, that still want to bolster their immune systems. Mm-hmm. There are things that you can do where a lot of the thinking is kind of done for you. Mm-hmm. And a great example of this, something so fast, you don't have to cook it, you don't have to do anything. There's no prep whatsoever. You can just add it to stuff and go, would be our Eden's Essentials mushrooms. And we are so proud of these. Let's talk about those.
Sure. Well, our mushrooms are organic fermented mushrooms. And so mushrooms are an absolute powerhouse of nutrition. And the data is really recent. I mean, it's coming in as we're speaking. And this is a little bit what I was getting earlier about correlation. We don't have direct causation, but we have a lot of correlation with these influenzas, the swine flu, bird flu, and viruses, and fermented mushrooms. Specifically, turkey tail is kind of the one that's really coming out right now. And we're going to do a deep dive into that. I won't get too far down that road, but there's a lot of strong data in there. And not just for viruses, but we're talking about viruses that we know lead to cancers as well. And it's loaded with lots of really high density minerals and vitamins on top of that. And there's basically three ways to get at these in mushrooms. And this is why I'd also suggested a bit ago the mushrooms in the diet, because mushrooms eaten raw, while they're good, it actually some of that is still trapped in there. It actually requires an extraction method. Either you boil it, you make it into a soup or a tea or something like that, you cook it, stir fry it or whatever, or you ferment it.
I prefer for a lot of other reasons.
Yeah, there's indefinitely, and that's what we have with our mushrooms is the fermented.
Right.
Because you have chitin and cellulose, and that chitin can only really broken down to get to those nutrients through generally one of those three processes. And whenever you put it through the fermentation process, it really activates it and other things are produced, which are so good for the body and helping it actually in ways we are still finding out how to calculate.
Right.
You know, so the more and more we study it, it's just a real powerhouse of nutrition, but a whole host of other things. Our blend helps increase oxygenation in the lungs, can support cardiovascular health, brain health, a whole host. I really do believe that fermented mushrooms are the future, really, of supplements. It's right at the top. I mean, it's
fermented foods. I mean, I have done so much research on autoimmune disease, digestion, the need for enzymes to break down the foods that you're eating so that you can absorb them. These mushrooms, gazillions of enzymes to boot with the fermentation.
Yeah, it's kind of like a diagnostic tool, and that's a little bit of what immunomodulation is. It goes down there, kind of figures out what time it is and what I need to do. Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful thing as opposed to something we know is very exacting.
Well, there's so much more to unpack. We're going to have to wait for future shows because, frankly, even this, as long as it was, we're just scathing the surface and kind of jumping over these snapshots. But if you're interested in learning more about or potentially trying our CBD or our mushrooms, just visit edensessentials.com. We can't wait to hear from you.